Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Holy, after what you said, I couldn't come to you. You know, I was ashamed. You know, I'm ashamed now. But I got nowhere else to go, Paulie. You're all I've got, and I really, really need your help. I really do. Take this.
Now I gotta turn my back.
That was La Russa. LaRussa
turned his back on
him. Now I got to turn my back on you.
He gave him just a few hundred dollars.
$3,200.
Yeah, for a lifetime.
Yeah, says. That's arbitration for you, Yerman. Now I got to turn my back on you.
Now I got to turn my back on you, Yerman.
Mm-hmm.
He's Paulie. Concept Mayhem's weighing in. I think he might be on Dell's side on this. He goes, Ricky is right. Remember how awesome it was when Robert Chesterdorf holed out at the buzzer to win the John Deere Open?
Yeah.
PGA action. There's no buzzer.
It's fantastic.
Robert Chesterdorf.
Who is that, John?
Is there a John Deere?
There Classic? Is a John Deere. Yeah.
Is there a Robert Chesterdorf that you
John
know?
John Deere Open, but okay. No, there's no Robert Chesterdorf. There's no buzzer.
PGA action. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. No, these guys are good. That's what it is. These guys are good. Of course, that was many years ago.
Many campaigns ago.
This is not how you spell Jordan's name, is it? That's not how you spell Jordan's name. Yordong. No, that's not.
It's one person spelling of his
name.
Yeah,
that's not how.
Although his first name is never, it's not on the back of his jersey.
No, you don't put your
first name. It's Alvarez, unless you're a soccer player.
Yeah. There are so many. Jordan is a great name to do stuff with. People are doing a lot of stuff. Jordan. Let's get Chris in here. He wants to talk about a docuseries. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? Do you know if any other baseball peers had an issue with Rizzo striking out Freddie Freeman a couple of weeks ago? I know y'all talking about baseball and unwritten rules.
Say it again.
He asked, do we know if baseball people had an issue with Rizzo, when he struck out Freddie Freeman. Is that against the rules for the position player to strike out another player?
Yeah, the position player struck out another player. That is against the rules.
Is that one too?
Yeah. I mean, if you're Freddie
Freeman. You need to check on it. It's really against the rules. I would think the position player that got struck out by the position player, the kangaroo court, I don't know. They might put the soap in a sock and just beat him at night. I would think that's a severe punishment for that player. So it's different. Yeah, it breaks the unwritten rules with your own team, and now they got to turn their back on you.
Yeah, yeah.
I also had another question. I know before you mentioned that you finished the serpent. I was watching it a couple of weeks ago. I finished it also. I want to know what you think about it. Me being kind of younger or whatever, I'm planning to go out of town for it. It's like a destination wedding. And I thought it was kind of tricky, you know. It opened up my eyes for, you know, when you go out of town to not trust anybody with, you know, drinks. I know people say that all the time, but it actually, you know, brought it to light more often, you know, to see all of that transpiring and everybody.
So for those who haven't seen The Serpent. Yeah, thanks for the call, Chris. For those who haven't seen The Serpent, have you seen it yet?
No, but I'm getting on.
Have you seen it, Dell?
Yes.
So The Serpent is a true story about a guy who was he was a French citizen who was
what was his ethnicity?
I can't remember.
Was he from Thailand or
His mom was from Thailand, his dad was like
French.
Well, that's a stepfather. His dad, I think, was Indian.
Okay.
I believe.
Maybe.
Anyway, right. The story is, and this is based on a true story, although they say the conversations are all imagined. It's basically a guy who would poison tourists, and he would poison tourists. He'd give them stuff that would make them sick to their stomach. Well, I'm not going to give everything away, but he would poison tourists, and then he would take their passports. And this is back in the day where, I guess it was in the mid-70s when this was happening, 75, I think, where he could take a knife or whatever, cut out the picture and put his own picture, and then he would travel around, and it would make those tourists look like they were, and he was also doing stuff with gemstones, like he would steal money from them, but he was also like selling tourists gemstones.
Yeah, don't tell too much.
Yeah, the basis of it, he's a gem dealer who uses those passports to continue the business, and he just procured those passports by illegitimate means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll see all of that.
But he is like he's fearless. He's not nice.
Doesn't sound like a nice guy.
No, he basically traps people around him.
The Serpent.
Yeah, he traps people around him that they can't go home because he's basically stolen their passports. Mm. So he turns them into like little butlers and whatnot. Like Dominique.
As a matter of fact, somebody told me you got to get on that, and I am absolutely going to get on it. My wife wanted to watch Halston. Have you seen this?
It's on Netflix. I haven't seen it.
I added it into my queue.
There's some parts that are difficult.
I did see the label that said LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if there's going to be some love scenes that you struggled with.
Yeah.
Okay. I figured that's where you were.
Yeah,
if you want
some of that.
So I guess it's not the L side.
Yeah. If you want the complete opposite, if you want, as you say, the L side, watch season two. It's on Stars on Demand. Season two of The Girlfriend Experience. You're into the L side, as you said.
Well, like the L word.
No, yeah, now we're talking.
There's an actual show called The L Word on Showtime years.
But the L word is about interpersonal relationships and, you know, a real type deal. This is more like, hey,
more like Banshee, but for
the high class escort community. And there, in the season two, one of the season two story arcs,
you piqued my interest. Though
one of the season two story arcs is a lesbian relationship between an escort and one of the women she runs into.
John's gonna ask. I'll just ask it for John.
There's an escort in Halston too, and
it's probably different.
It's different.
Yeah. I'm gonna say look. It is a very cinemas.
He calls himself Victor Hugo, not Victor Hugo.
No, look, that's not
the Girlfriend Experience season two. At least the one I saw. I mean, there's three seasons. The season two arc I was watching last night. It'll be down in your alley.
Okay.
John. After watching Banshee, I probably need to check that out. I'll tell you what is a really good show that also won awards is The Assassination of Johnny Versace. Really good show. Really, really good show. You know, the designer.
Yeah.
It's a true story based on the kid that killed him. And they go through, they follow this kid around and his whole life. And he's like a con man. It was really good. He won the Emmy that year.
Is that Netflix?
No, it was on FX.
So it'll be on Hulu.
Is it on Hulu right now?
It should be. FX has a deal with Hulu. Okay. You should be able to find it on Hulu.
It's a docuseries. It's definitely worth your time. Mm,
yeah.
No, it's not a docu. Is that considered a docuseries if it's based on true events, but it's not a documentary?
Well, they're calling it a true crime anthology. So,
okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
But that one is a big recommend for me. I thought that was fantastic.
It's part of the people versus OJ. It's part of that people versus OJ Simpson mode.
Yeah,
like it's just a recreation with some drama added to a real life event.
Yeah. How are the Texans? We'll tell you on the other side. How are the Texans one of the five teams that benefited most from the 2021 schedule? that they're ranked as one of the five teams that have benefited most from this year's schedule. We'll talk about it on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about champion, being a champ. Well, that's what the Texans really are, aren't they? Aren't they, though? If you're looking for a great way to save some money every single month, I mean, I honestly, it's ridiculous how low. It's ridiculous how low you can go with Champion Energy. I just love Champion Energy because my bill this month was, I was just like, what? This is awesome. And it's been this way for a dozen years. I am simply amazed at how this happens. Every single month, my bill, and it's going to be the same way all summer long. And now is the time when your bill is going to start to rise. And you're like, well, it's okay right now. It's going to be okay. Wait during the summer, and you're paying out the wazoo. You don't have to do that. Be with a locally owned and operated company. Be with the company that's got the best in service. Be with the company that's going to save you money. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's, but in a good way. They've got a little, got some juice to them. Here's one for you. Tony L is soft as a poodle pool, is what Chris says.
Poodle pool.
Poodle pool?
Poo. Isn't it poodle poo?
Oh, poodle poo, yeah. Poodle poo. I didn't know what a poodle pool was, but it sounded soft.
Yeah, no.
Sound like, oh, is that where you bathe the poodle? Sounds soft.
Poodle poo.
Poodle
is,
poo.
Is soft.
Poodle poo. 3-0, it's time to take a hack, says Brian. La Russa doesn't play by the rules of life, DUI ass.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wrong on that from a technical standpoint. Hey, Dell, what about the soccer move after an injured player causes a game stoppage? The ref gives one team the ball and they kick the ball to the other team on purpose.
I don't, what does that mean?
He just wants to know about soccer's unwritten rules. You kick the ball back.
What is it? So
take advantage and score.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
D Green said, what about that, Dell?
Look at John Daly. He is awesome.
Oh man, you should see this.
Man,
this
he looks bad.
Just some dude at Topgolf, basically.
No, but he's got like liver problems. Surprisingly,
shocking.
Surprisingly,
Jason says this. Now this is a good point. Now I'm already writing down stuff because of Jason's tweet. He said unwritten rules are there for a reason. Just like you don't date a buddy's sister and you don't date a buddy's ex. Now are those unwritten rules that you say yeah?
No, guys date buddy's sisters, not their. You don't mess with a guy's girlfriend or wife.
No,
but
do
guys
date
their buddy's sisters?
Do guys date their buddy's ex?
No, you can, but don't you kind of have
not
to have permission?
No, that's
wait a minute.
Well, you could do it secretly.
No, that's because it's an unwritten rule. You're not supposed to.
Yeah,
dating an ex is not
dating
good.
Dating a sister's
not
okay.
Not dating.
But dating a sister's okay, right?
Dating a sister's okay.
You need permission. That can cause
you
problems.
You can ask.
Yeah, but you can ask, but you can still
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, you got to ask permission.
You
they
can
say
still
no.
Do it.
No.
Well, you can ask permission to swing on 3-0. Hey, okay.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
You see guys marrying buddy sisters.
Yeah.
I know, but that's but it can cause problems.
No, and buddy sisters are not off limits.
Well,
buddy's girlfriends or wives are.
As long as
exes.
As long as your buddy as long as the brother knows the buddy isn't a scumbag, you'd probably be okay with it. If he knows his buddy's a scumbag,
yeah, but
he's not going to.
But then if you cheat on
your sister,
then
well,
the relationship's over. Your friendship
is
over.
Cheat.
Then don't
cheat. Well, no, I know, but I'm just saying that's why a lot of people look at that as,
well,
I don't want to mess
well,
with
the relationship.
Well, that's fine, but it's not an unwritten rule. You can date a buddy sister.
Just
well,
don't be
some people say no.
Don't be a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't tell guys not to be bad people.
Well,
there's a lot of bad people out there.
What?
There's a lot of bad people out there. I'm not one of them. Julia said I was the nicest one, and her friends like me the best. from Rice. They're like, it seems like Lance is the nicest one on the show. It didn't seem like it. He is.
Thank you, Rice.
Thank you, Rice.
Really?
Do you
what about the other interns that you talk about?
Thank you, Rice.
Yeah, that gift card thing was harsh.
Thank you, Rice. Not about Julia.
No, somebody else.
Tommy says, so a minor leaguer can't collect a home run in a meaningless game, but it's okay to use smartwatches, cameras to win chips and collect millions?
Yeah.
F baseball. Then somebody else says David Culley's a junkie.
What is
no reason?
What does that have to do with anything?
Just wanted to say that. Uncle Drayton said, "I thought it was PGA. We got next. Is that what it is, John?
That's not
is that the slogan.
It's not the slogan. PGA. We got next. That's WNBA. Okay, that is not the PGA slogan. We got next. So the Texans. So the teams that benefited most from the schedule. Okay, five teams. Tampa. To keep focused on the Pats in the last section, it was necessary to downplay the week four showdown, blah, 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 blah. For whatever reason they did. I'm not going to read all this stuff. The Jags apparently are benefiting from this schedule. The Rams are benefiting, and the Houston Texans are benefiting. Here's why. Houston has the least talented roster in the NFL and is in dire need of a high draft position. Thanks to a combination of opponents that feature tons of playoff contenders and enough ascending teams, the Texans should escape this year with the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Because they're going to lose so much, the Texans are benefiting from the schedule. That's where we are as an organization. Because we have the worst roster, the least talented roster in the NFL, because Deshaun Watson is not going to play anymore for the Texans, it's likely that Tyrod Taylor is going to lead the offense. He's a respected veteran, but he's not a miracle worker. And when they're 0-9, you can count on Davis Mills getting the last few starts thereafter. So Houston can see what it has in the third round rookie quarterback.
This all sounds accurate.
The best case scenario is if Houston goes 0-17, manages to trade Watson for a big haul, and uses that load of assets to overhaul its roster in 2022 and beyond, likely building around a new quarterback. That's why the Texans are benefiting most from this schedule. Because
I heard some Indonesian farmers were screaming about the Texans. Do you guys think the Texans are going to win? They are really. Yeah.
Is that Indonesian farmers? What that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they think the Texans are going to win. I don't.
So
I'm with that article.
So the Houston Texans. Is there really a chance? There's not a chance they're going 0-17.
No, it's super
if
hard.
Here's what Pro Football Talk says. If the Texans win one game in 2021, they will have exceeded expectations. The Westgate Sportsbook has the Texans as underdogs in each of the team's 2021 regular season games.
A little disingenuous, isn't it, since their win total is higher? Their win total is like 4.5, so they wouldn't have exceeded expectations.
No,
you can actually bet on how many games they win. So that's not necessarily
true. Yeah, that's true. The closest the Texans come to being favored to win a game comes in Week 12 when the Jets arrive. As for now, 1-point favorites.
How about we do this? If you bet against the Texans every week, money line, do you end up winning money or losing money?
Against
them. Because if you lose, you could lose 700 to win 100 easily. You're going to have some lines that are so high, like an 11-point favorite, that some places
now
don't even put money line.
Now is the time to do it, though. Now is the time to do it, because unless the Texans are good, which we don't believe they will be,
no.
The lines are going to go up.
But the lines, the money line, if you play the other team just to win, which is the money line, I mean, you're going to be laying regularly.
Yeah,
over 1,000.
But like, let's say Davis Mills is starting against the Jets in Week 12. The line is going to be Jets more than -1.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Laying all those.
Now is the time to do it.
When the Texans win, you're going to take a big hit if you're playing the money line. You're going to be laying like 1,400 to win 100.
Yeah.
You'll lose You'll lose $1,400. My question is, if you played it to win 100 every single
game.
Time, money line against the Texans, where you're laying a big number, will you make more than if you were to play the?
Well, what you got to see what are the numbers right now? I mean,
but you don't,
you're saying
you don't know
minus 1,400. Who's the best team that they're playing? They're playing the West, the NFC West, and they're playing the AFC East. The Bills? At the Bills, right?
Well, they're going to be high.
But is that, I don't know they're going to be plus 1,400 at a Texans
money
line.
Well, it's
going to
be like regularly minus 700, minus 900. I mean, they're going to be dogs of over 7 points on a regular basis.
Yeah, except they got the Jags twice. They got the Jets. They got the Panthers, which is home on Thursday night.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking you to project that. Do you think
that would be at Buffalo? That's going to be a huge one. The Patriots won't be that huge.
But who are they going to beat? That's what you'd have to figure out. Because if they win one game, then yeah,
San Francisco, you're laying a big number. But you can find out those numbers right now.
I don't think you can. See, that's what I'm thinking. I don't think you could play the Texans against the Texans. If they went 0-17, you'd win $1,700.
Right.
It's not enough. If they won two times, it wipes out all that profit. You're going to lose. So you could. That's not a play you can get away with. Now, if you want to bet against them with point spread, will they be better than 500? I say no.
What about betting money line a win every week
for the Texans?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's
what
so
if they
much
win
lower.
Five games?
Yeah, but it's so much lower. Yeah, if you bet 100, so you risk 1,700.
Yeah,
and if you win five games
again at San Francisco,
remember that number's so much lower than what you lay as a favorite. The juice just gets you so much. I don't know. If you won five games, I mean, you'd have to be winning.
It'd be close to breaking. That'd be close to breaking even.
You'd need to win a double digit dog game. Probably.
And what if they go 16-1? Then what?
Well, you're killing it.
Yeah, like I said.
If you're 16-1, you're also a huge favorite in a lot of games.
Well, no, you do it now when they're huge dogs. You lay it all right now.
Lay what?
You put 100 on every game right now.
Can you really do that, or is that just something that's on the internet? I've never seen it on an actual.
Well, it's out at Westgate Sportsbook right now.
So you have to drive. You have to fly there.
They got lines on every game right now.
So you have to fly there and go Westgate, as in that's in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have to fly to Vegas to do it.
Yeah, I'm going.
Are you going to go bet on the Texans every game?
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
Yeah.
1,700. You're going to fire on the Texans. That's nice.
Yeah, the official site, the Westgate site. Let's see. Yeah. Look at that. Beautiful. Let's go. We're going to do the show from there.
From the Westgate?
Barry Manilow's there. Let's go.
Oh, man.
Right? Benihana's? You want to go eat at Benihana's? Let's go.
Oh,
it's a beautiful getaway. All right? Let's go. You can go to the spa. Look, you can get a massage. Deshaun's there.
See?
You will see Deshaun.
There it is. There's the Deshaun joke.
We'll see Deshaun right there.
There's the Deshaun. Are you happy with this, Deshaun?
Are you happy? Every time
it
a massage is
starts with
is
Barry
mentioned?
Manilow, it ends with Deshaun getting a massage. See how easy that was?
Every time someone's getting a massage, guess who you think of? Guess who immediately comes to mind.
I mean, it is true.
It is.
He's stuck with it.
That's it. Every time someone dumps in a closet, who do you think of?
Yeah, Najee Davenport.
That's right.
Certain things you just think of. Najee Davenport dumped in a hamper, to be more specific.
Right. Every time
at least
somebody,
he did it in something that could be carried around.
Every time somebody swings at a 3-0 pitch up by 14 runs, who do you think of?
For me.
That's right. You're me. That's right. So I'm sorry, but that's right. It is what it is.
What about when people go 0-27 from the three-point line? Who do you think of in the playoff game?
I'd think of the Rockets. That's right.
See?
That's right.
Like certain things that you do,
right?
That's what you're known for.
What about when somebody hurts their hamstring? Who do you think of?
Well, Will Fuller.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. That one guy, Jerome Mathis.
What about Mike Trout has like a strained calf? He's out six to eight weeks. Weeks.
He's out two
not
months
games.
With a strained calf. Are you sure that's not a torn Achilles the way you're...
6 to 8 weeks?
You sure somebody didn't shoot you?
The dude misses some games now.
Yeah.
Dude misses games. But did you know that like 80% of the money on AL MVP is on Shohei or
this
or
early?
Trout? Or Trout.
Shohei's...
80% of the bets.
Wow. And Shohei's having a great year.
Oh my God, he's leading the league in homers. He's got a 2.10 ERA.
Yeah, it's hard to do. That's Babe Ruth back in the 20s type stuff.
Yeah. No.
Say, kids, you see Babe Ruth hit three home runs and pitch both ends of a doubleheader. as the Babe gets both wins and hits five home runs. Paul Mall, make sure your smokes are cool when kids. Paul Mall.
It's 829 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
Back when they had a two-man rotation?
Yeah.
Back in the days, the guys are tough. Right. You had two-man rotations.
Wilbur Woods started both ends of a doubleheader. You know that, right?
Yeah, he did. If I say started both ends of a doubleheader,
Wilbur Woods.
Only one guy.
One guy.
There's only one guy you have. That's it. If I say jumped in the air, tried to find somebody to pass to and then turn the ball over, who do you think of?
If I say he pitched back-to-back no-hitters.
That's one of them was a no-hitter. Not Drysdale. It's God dog it. Hold on. It's... Yeah. It's a white guy.
A white guy?
A white baseball player from the 50s. White baseball player from the 50s.
Johnny Vandermeer.
Who pitched like this.
Yeah.
Probably had some kind of crazy delivery.
Johnny Vandermeer.
I bet. Oh, the guy, and his pants were real loose.
Yeah.
I know.
And he wore
flannel. With the hat and with the glove that only had three fingers?
Yeah, that was three fingers brown. Yeah. It's 830 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. Every time someone poops in a popcorn box, who do you think of?
Fair.
Okay.
There's certain things, yeah.
Yeah, there's certain things.
That... Now, here's, I'm going to point one out. What if I said jumps up in the air as a basketball player? And then turns looking for somebody to pass to and can't find anyone to pass to and just turns it over. Who do you think of?
Well, Russell Westbrook.
But I'm thinking Steve Francis. See? So that doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't fit.
That doesn't fit.
No.
You got to have something fit.
Mm-mm.
If I said, and see, this one doesn't fit either. What if I said, worst hitting defensive shortstop of all time?
It's hard. There's seven Astros you could.
No, you going to say Tim Bogart? Because then I come over the top with
Adam Everett.
Adam Everett.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Weakest hitting catcher of all time.
Too hard. Lots of Astros.
It could be Maldonado.
Right now it could be. Although he would not
Brad
be
Brad Ausmus is like, hey.
He would not be my first choice, yeah.
Well,
what if I said
it would be
always
this year? How about he hits
up,
into a double play last
what
night?
What about always racks up statistics?
I mean, does he have to be up when there's a big play every time? There's a big situation, and you got Maldonado at the plate. This is what's wrong with baseball. Why can't we put up whoever? We can't put Yermin in when we want? I mean, come on.
What about King?
Let's change the game.
What about the king of bases loaded?
Who's the king of bases loaded?
Mm-hmm.
Jose Siri.
See, there's not a person. My thought immediately goes to Yuli.
Oh.
Yuli's like hits over 400 lifetime with the bases loaded.
Jose Siri's got two grand slams already this year for the Skeeters.
Yeah, good for you. Do it longer. Yeah, I know. By the way, that's somebody no one's talked about. He's got 24 RBIs as of yesterday. He leads the entire league. He's playing Skeeter ball down there. I mean, thoughts and prayers of Fort Bend County, Florida.
Yeah, but Miles Straw had two hits last night, so sorry.
Were they bunts?
Well,
were they,
who cares?
Were they,
two hits.
Okay, what if I told you hitting streak with infield singles?
No, it would be Glenn Barker. No, it's a little slappy. God, what was his name?
He had over 20, I think it was a 21-game hitting streak.
And he had...
And like 17 of them were infield singles.
What was his name?
Willie Taveras. Yeah.
Willie Taveras.
See, you knew...
Yeah.
It couldn't be Glenn Barker because he didn't play enough.
No, Glenn Barker didn't have that many. No, Willie Taveras had a hit streak.
What if I say king of the step back? There's no doubt.
Oh, James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So James gets that.
Right.
Yeah, James gets that.
Uh-huh. 713-780-3776. When you see Hodor, who do you think of? Well, I can't say.
That's an accurate one, though. No, it's not tough. He's right. If I see Hodor from now on, or if I see somebody with a conductor's hat, is the other one. What if you see a red fish and a blue fish? You actually see the Dr. Seuss. Are you thinking Dr. Seuss when you see that cover?
No.
No, you don't think that anymore.
Redfish hit.
I mean, it used to be if you thought massages, you could think of anything. Now you think one person.
That's it.
Now Redfish, Bluefish, it used to be Dr. Seuss. He got canceled, and Jack Easterby took over his spot. Yeah. Anyway, he's like, I'm doing this whole Redfish, Bluefish, you know what I'm saying? And then, so now that's what Jack does.
Yeah.
Y'all want to see me crip walk? I bet y'all don't want to see that. Okay, now.
Yeah.
All right, now watch out now. Hey, Jack, stop trying to steal part of Bernie Mac's stuff. Bernie Mac is dead. Stop trying to steal his energy.
Yeah. Charles Chatuvia says you also shouldn't
do pumpkin pie. Kick it.
You also shouldn't do stuff with your buddy's mom. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an unwritten rule.
No, that's an unwritten rule.
Yeah. Don't do things to your friend's mom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's an unwritten rule that probably needs to stay on the books.
Oh my.
Your friend's ex needs to stay on the books. Yeah, I see that building shaking.
Did you see that?
You can't really tell it's shaking, but yeah, people in China are running because some building, some gigantic skyscraper just started shaking, and then there's no earthquake. And they're like, this isn't good.
Mm-mm.
I immediately quit that job.
Hey, skyscraper is moving? Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem in China. It's not the Gao Tower, okay?
This feels like a holiday show.
That's not our transmitter. It's in China, Art.
Does this feel like a holiday show?
Yeah, it kind of does. What if I said he beats up sons of Houston Hall of Famers in strip club parking lots?
It's only one person I think of.
That's it. That's all you think of.
I mean, he's known for that.
That's it.
He's known for that.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You don't know the name. If you know, you know. He doesn't beat him up. You hold phones and then give out directions about what to do on a FaceTime off a stripper phone.
Semua 3780-3776.
Do you want to talk about the Astros? Astros loss. I could do that, or I could tell you about this story about a 224-pound Russian woman who reportedly killed her husband with her buttocks.
That's a better story.
Okay,
I think that's.
And then we'll get to the Astros bullpen.
Uh-huh.
A 224-pound Russian woman
with their buttocks last
faces
night.
Some heavy-duty justice for sitting on her husband and strangling him to death with her massive buttocks during a boozy dispute. Tatiana O. And just because I say Tatiana, it's not good.
She doesn't look. Yeah.
Well, I already hit you with the 224.
Not the good kind of Tatiana.
Allegedly refused to let Adair go, even as he begged for forgiveness. Adair's daughter saw him pinned face down on the bed and ran to seek help from neighbors in Russian city of Novokuznetsk, according to the news outlet, which cited evidence in the case.
Well, you can always trust a Russian news outlet, so.
A female neighbor who arrived reportedly decided the couple were in the midst of a domestic dispute and left. Tatiana said she merely wanted to calm her husband down after the couple had been drinking. Adair died from asphyxiation from blocking the respiratory system as his face was wedged into the mattress, and Tatiana sat on him, using her legs so he could not lift it.
Mm.
I mean, you don't have any kind of, you can't turn over a little bit.
He was wasted. He looks like a bigger guy, too. He's a, yeah. Yeah.
Look at me. I'm Russian. My wife will be very, very aggressive with the Botox. She has very, very many sandwiches.
Yeah. It's now
you
being called.
Think a, you could.
It's get- now a murder charge. After against Tatiana, who had been angry after drinking heavily.
Okay.
Do you and your friends ever do that as a joke to each other when y'all been drinking? I mean, I know y'all. One thing that I think should be an unwritten rule, you know, doing anything with someone's mom or ex is kind of off limits.
Right.
I also think not buying your friend's jeans should be an unwritten
that
rule.
That is an unwritten rule.
That should be an unwritten rule.
No, he broke your unwritten rule. There's no question.
I'm going to say one that I know you're
going to I think it's a written rule, that one.
Yeah, that should be written.
No.
I'm going to say one that I 100%
that was a flagrant foul.
Know that you're not going to agree with this one. But I just think it's bad form. You should not be allowed to sit down at the same three-card poker spot or slot machine that your friend just got his ass kicked in, because those things can pay off out of nowhere. I feel like you would do it intentionally to screw your friend
because
you want to hit so you can say, look what happened.
Hey, why'd
I
you
got
get
paid
up?
And you lost all
why'd
your
you
money.
Get up?
Yeah.
You're stupid.
I feel like that's like, man, maybe you shouldn't do that.
It was
I'm
just about to hit. Look what you did.
Is it an unwritten rule that you don't text your friend and make him think he has a tryout with the Atlanta Falcons? Should that be an unwritten rule?
Yeah, that should be an unwritten rule. Yeah. No, I think that's a written rule. You shouldn't do that. No, that's a written rule.
Is it against the law?
No, it's funny, though. It's kind of funny. I mean, sometimes when you break the rules, it's funny. I don't know. I think so. And I think that was a nice one. I would love to do that to one of my friends. Let them think that something really, really good happened to them. And then, oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry to break your heart. Sorry for you to learn that, oh, nothing's good in your life. So on top of that, we've got some more Kwame Brown. Last 3 days, Kwame Brown has taken over the internet, apparently. Unlike these two little people that are like want to fight each other.
You see how big that's getting? You see the one that didn't have Ernie? Did you see that? Chuck? No. Did you see Chuck and Shaq are the little guys and Ernie's the big guy sitting between them? TNT had that out there yesterday.
That is so funny. Those little guys are collecting some followers now. That thing is viral, the little fellas, but so is Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown is now going after Stephen A. How did Stephen A. offend him?
Well, Stephen A. reposted something from earlier in his career while Kwame Brown was still playing about how bad Kwame Brown was and what an awful player he was and the bust he was. And Kwame was like, "How long ago is this? You guys are still talking about me? Why? Why am I a big deal?" And then he said he would slap Stephen A. so hard that his hairline would go back even further.
Well,
I
mean, come to Seattle because
he said that
you can have a hand-to-hand combat in Seattle without signing a waiver.
Yeah, something like that. A lot of what Kwame Brown said, you can't play.
No, we can't play.
Yeah, because it would be beep, beep, beep this, beep that. But the message was, stop talking about me or catch these hands.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Kwame ain't afraid of nope. Now,
well, he is 6'10". He's a big dude.
I don't know, but Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson.
Here's the thing. They
got some history now.
Joel Anderson says, yeah. Joel Anderson said, I didn't know Steven Jackson was a Muslim now.
I didn't know.
Although he's got on his website, on his Instagram, it says Muslim drip. It's not, I don't think that's, I'm not sure the guys at Mecca are all going to look the way Steven's. He's got a Chanel, whatever, I don't know what it's called, but it's Chanel. Mm. But anyway,
nothing says Muslim like Chanel.
Joel Anderson, who is a national writer for, I think, Slate, but he's from Houston. He said that Kwame has like a brother who has died, a dad in prison, a brother in prison. He's like, he's lived a rough life. And he's a Southern kid. Like, he's an old country ass kid who you really probably don't want a lot of smoke with Kwame Brown, which. Yeah, I never knew
No,
that.
I don't want smoke with...
He has been... Like, Ryan Leaf and Kwame Brown are probably the two that I think of when it comes to bust.
More than Jermunchies, as Johnny likes to call him?
Jamarcus
Russell.
Yeah, but he stayed out of the limelight. People sought him the whole, knock it off! Get out of here, man! And then he was a junkie. He kept breaking into... Like, Ryan Leaf has been at the forefront of everything. Jamarcus just disappeared. Yeah, you're right. Maybe Jamarcus is, I guess, maybe a bigger bust. But in basketball, Kwame is one of them. But I get it. Kwame's probably done taking all these bullets. He's taken it for years and years. His whole podcast is called, like, the Bust Podcast. So he's just tired of people taking shots at him, and it really irritated him. You could tell having Gilbert Arenas and Matt Barnes take shots at him really irritated him.
Yeah.
Really irritated.
844 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. We'll talk about those Astros on the other side right here. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 847, Astros lose last night. Lose because of the bullpen, pretty much. Javier gave you 6 innings, 3 runs. It's a quality start. Wasn't a great start. It's a quality start. Ramon Laureano just was he was his daddy. He was Javier's daddy last mm-hmm. night. He had three bombs. RBIs. He had the game-winning RBI in the ninth inning. He had two bombs, two solo shots, and then the bullpen came in, and then Paredes came in and walked a couple, and Scrub came in and gave up a sacrifice fly, but he got a couple outs. Actually, he got you out of the inning on seven pitches, which wasn't bad. Got two outs on seven pitches. He didn't look bad. But then Stanek came in and walked a couple, and it's just a killer, just a killer. So it is, you know, the Astros are really, really, really good, and they just need to get some consistency out of that bullpen. Stanek was really good early on, not so much lately. Abreu has been okay. It just seems like anytime he comes in with runners on, his ERA is 3.68. It just seems like he's given up more runs than that because it doesn't seem like he comes in and gets a hold ever. Scrub did a pretty nice job. Paredes was awesome this year until last night, and with a couple of walks. But that's what you with Paredes. That's what you worry about. He'll come in and he can be all over the place.
Did you always feel like the entire game was just waiting to flip the other way? Yeah. And
they took a 2-run lead. I mean,
well, no, you had no. It was the Astros game, but it was tenuous for the first. Five or six innings you had, okay, but you had a lead, but at the same time, I just felt like, man, this is, you're not putting as many runs up as I think you need to, and then they put two more up. Five is more than you need. I mean, you should be good with five, but three of the bullpen pitchers ended up giving up runs.
Yeah, but we're running seventh, eighth, and ninth.
Yeah, I mean, you lost the game in the last third of the game.
Yeah, right.
Is what happened, and that just feels like, I feel like there's always, I just feel too skittish about the bullpen hanging on to close games. I just feel like the Astros offense is really going to have to put up some big crooked numbers just to be safe in those situations and those scenarios. But I mean, you have three big arm pitchers and you just aren't dominating the competition with those big arms. Stanek looked really good early in the season, not as good lately. Paredes is still trying to figure things out. And then Abreu, you know, he was supposed to be the guy last year, the young guy that could really take a step up. It didn't materialize, and he disappeared. This year, he hasn't been able to do it. Has just given up way too many runs at inopportune times. And if you add Josh James to that mix, you know, the Astros, Paredes, Abreu, and Josh James, those are three big-arm pitchers. Paredes is still early on. And Josh James has had some time now, and Abreu is still relatively early on. But those are the kind of guys that you really depend on. Those are the guys that you want in your bullpen. If you look at, you know, pitchers like in New York or L.A. who have had deep bullpens, they have guys like that who can come in and just deal. Not throw 98 and give you problems, and they're younger guys, and they work off a second pitch. The Astros really haven't developed that as well. They haven't been able to develop. Their young starters are doing a nice job. But Josh James has not developed the way you wanted him to. Of course, you know, he hasn't pitched for a while. But Josh James didn't develop. Paredes, we're still waiting for him to develop into who he's going to be. And then Abreu, I don't know. I mean, Abreu is a huge guy with a big right arm. But I don't have a lot of confidence in him developing into one of your next big bullpen pitchers.
Yeah, no.
It's early still, but I'd like to see more flashes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The bullpen is, I think it's a work. And you know what, Dusty? He's got his hand. I have one hand tied behind his back with this bullpen. You know, Rayleigh was so bad, and then he comes in and he looks okay for a while. And you know, the only one that's been consistent, you know, the whole time so far, Belak looked terrible, and then he came in and looked good for three innings, and you're like, what the heck? Who is it? And then the only one that's been that you can count on all year is Presley. So it's been, you know what? The bullpen is going to be until you get everybody back. When Odorizzi comes and Fromber comes, then it's going to be nice, hopefully. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in. And Tucker, by the way, Tucker looks nice. He hit that ball holy crap, against, you know, how nice is Yordan comes up against a lefty. He doesn't care. Minaya, first inning, double down the right field line. And you're like, man, Yordan. And then Tucker comes up and just crushes it. That was a monster home run. And when he gets a hold of it, holy crap, leading the team in homers. He's, you know, for his average, listen, when it's all said and done, Carlos came up in a game, in an early game situation, in a nice situation and couldn't come through. You got to come to, and especially Carlos has got to come through. You need that. I'm going to tell you what, Tucker, there's a good chance, Tucker's going to be, could be a 300 hitter this year. With the, as badly as he started, he's got a, he looks like he's on fire. 2-for-4 last night with a huge bomb. He's got his average up to 233, 10 homers, 28 RBIs. His OPS is almost 800 now with a 233 average. His OPS is almost 800. So dude has got it going on, and he's fun to watch. He's pretty to watch. And I know there were a lot of detractors. Jackie just hated him early on, and you know, he was all over him. And so, yeah, Jackie, sorry. Tucker is hitting.
The hitters have really, all of them have bounced back. Right. If you look up and down that lineup, everyone's bounced back other than Correa. Correa's just kind of sitting there 250-something, and the OPS is just, it's not great. But Altuve bounced back. Yuli still had that great year. Tucker is now hitting a ball well. We know Straw's not much of a hitter. Maldonado may just not have a great year. It's just the way it's going to be. But I'm feeling a lot better about the lineup. It's just that, unfortunately, I think you are going to have to rake up some numbers because you're going to give some away with the bullpen. That's just the way it's going to be. You're going to have to build leads, and that'll be the case. You think James Click? Last year was one of those years you said, well, I mean, it's a shortened year. There's not a lot for James Click to do. I'm interested to see if James Click gets active on the trade front to go try to find a bullpen pitcher.
I will know. We'll see how much, if he loosens up the purse strings.
You got to see what happens also.
Yeah, where you're at.
With, you know, what happens when Fromber gets back? How does that alter sending another arm like Garcia down into the pen? Like, what's that going to mean? And if Odorizzi gets back, what does that mean? Does Odorizzi go to the pen as another starter, go to the pen, and what does that do to the bullpen? So, you know, it'll be curious to see if anything happens there.
It will be. See if he's, well, I mean, Luno did a great job. He did pull the trigger on Zach Britton, but Baltimore pulled back on that. He was able to get the Justin Verlander deal done with 5 seconds to spare. He did, you know, he worked it as hard as he possibly could and got it done at the 12th hour. So he got the job done. He got this team a championship, and he got 4 straight ALCSs because of him, because of Luno. You know, the jury's still out on Click. We'll find out whether or not, first of all, we'll find out whether or not Jim Crane is going to be willing to spend money too. I mean, he it's not like he hasn't picking up Verlander and Greinke. It's not like he hasn't said we're giving Bregman all that money before he had to, giving Altuve all that money. So it's not like he hasn't spent. It's not like Jim Crane has been cheap in any. And we'll see what he does now, though. We'll see if he's. First of all, you don't have a minor league system that you can wheel and deal with, which they had previously, guys that people wanted. Unless you're going to give up Leon, unless you're going to give up Siri.
That's the problem, is you're going to have to trade some of your young potential, like Abreu, move him for another pitcher that you feel like is more developed right now but may not have the same upside. I'd be willing to consider that, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you think Abreu on a scale of 5 has a chance to be a 4, you know that's his potential, but he's currently at a 1 or maybe close, maybe a 2, then you might be willing to trade him for a 3 just because you need somebody who is reliable. Maybe you would do that. Maybe you trade. And we see those kind of trades all the time. Like the Astros, a lot of times over the years, have been on the other side of that, where they traded more established players for younger players with talent. And it's actually benefited them. Jeff Bagwell is the most notable. Jeff Bagwell was a young, up-and-coming, you know, minor leaguer. I don't think anyone saw him as a Hall of Famer, but he was an up-and-coming minor leaguer. And they traded Larry Anderson for him. Solid reliever.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what a team needed, a solid reliever. The Astros, I think that's how they got Jeff Leonard back in the day. There's been a lot of times with the Astros, Octavio Dotel, although Dotel was kind of coming up a little bit. But the Astros have been on the other side of it. They may need to be on the other side of saying, you know what, we just need somebody we can trust in the bullpen. So we'll take your solid guy for a guy like Abreu who's got maybe more potential.
Yeah. Jackie says Baez is starting to throw. Taylor coming back. Don't forget Urquidy, Fromber, and Odorizzi. I mean, this is going to look, this plan is going to look totally different. Luis Garcia goes into the pen. We'll see if Javier goes into the pen. We'll see what they do with or maybe Odorizzi goes to the pen. I don't know. He seems to have more pelts, so we'll see. I don't know. But, man, Carlos Correa is catching it. Chief Wonky Paw says, easy to blame the pen, and then they deserve some. But Correa came up twice with runners in scoring position, and he routinely does nothing with it.
Yeah, no, that's...
His lack of production is more worrisome than our young arms hitting occasional trouble. While we miss Urquidy, Fromber, and Odorizzi. Yeah.
No, see, I disagree with that. You have enough to say that he... Who said that?
Chief Wonky Paw.
Here's why I disagree with that. While everything you say is true, you have enough bats in the lineup that you can survive a guy who also is going to play extremely good defense.
Yeah, but you're giving up at-bats with Straw. You're giving up at-bats with Correa. You're giving up at-bats with Maldonado. So that's
he's a great he's a great defensive player.
Yeah.
So he does have that. But what does bad bullpen pitching do for you?
Yeah, no.
There's no
games.
Benefit.
It loses games,
yeah. And there's no benefit.
Well, so does not hitting when in big situations.
Carlos can save runs, and I think it does. But I also think Carlos Correa, I mean, he's kind of showing you who he is. Yeah. This has kind of been who he is. I think he's going to hit better than this, but I don't know that Carlos Correa not hitting in certain situations completely wipes out some of the positives that he brings to the table either. Bad young arms, bullpen pitchers, or inconsistent, I should say, they're costing you, they're going to cost you games. It's going to alter the way that Dusty thinks about how he has to handle, you know, late inning situations. So those guys are going to have to be replaced. You're just not going to see Abreu as much. Once these other arms come back, those guys are going to be gone. Carlos Correa is not going to be gone. That's because he actually brings value.
Yeah,
he's just not a great hitter. We can wait all we want. He's not hitting 30 home runs. Guess what? Carlos not hitting 30 home runs. He's not hitting 900 OPS. Wait as long as you want to. This is not who he is.
No, you know who Craig DeSurf is?
He is. Now, he is the guy that drives in runs. Craig DeSurf drives in runs. Yeah.
In runs.
Yeah, he drives in deals is what he does. Go to LanceZCars.com and go find your car right now. You can go directly to their inventory. And now when you get to the front page, you're going to see all the great offers they have, 18% off MSRP on a variety of Chevy vehicles, including the Chevy Equinox is at 13%. The Trax is at 18%. The Traverse, which is what I drive, is at 10% off MSRP cash back. All these amazing offers from the Chevy side, including a military discount of $500 bonus cash and $4,000 cash allowance for the Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab. Chevy allows you to find new roads, and it's a great time to buy a Chevy at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. That's where the Chevy deals are taking place. Go directly to the front page at LanceZCars.com and immediately start your search for a great Chevy vehicle that's waiting for you with great offers and prices and huge trade-in values on your vehicle. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big now.